Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. It is Election Day as we record the program today, so we've got lots of interesting things to talk about. Right, Steve?
We do, and right off the bat, I want our listeners to hear our executive director, Leticia Munoz-Kamensky. She is there in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho, Sandoval County. She's hurrying from one spot to another where troubles have erupted, and she's trying to put out fires, working with the Secretary of State, working with the county clerks in these areas. I tell you that it's really an administrative nightmare running these elections, and if clerks aren't well-trained and well-prepared, the problems arise just like they are. But listen as Leticia talks about Election Day from her perspective, with RPNM hustling to close gaps and get polling places back open, get information into the hands of voters.
It is Election Day in New Mexico, and with me in the studio is Leticia Munoz, who's the executive director of the Republican Party of New Mexico. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much, Derek, for having me today.
Well, it's interesting to note on Election Day what you're hearing and what's going on where people are voting.
Well, the phones have been buzzing, honestly, since about 6:30 this morning. People on their way to the polls, they're calling the office and, you know, finding out that they're standing in line looking at a sample ballot and finding out that this is a nonpartisan race. They're surprised to see there's not a party affiliation next to the name. So the phones have been going off the hook, ringing.
If I want to vote for a conservative candidate, how do I know, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And we've been fielding those calls, honestly, all month. But the Election Dayers that love to vote on Election Day, they're a little surprised when they show up. Maybe they forget, or maybe this is the first time they voted in a local election. So that's one of the biggest things that we've been seeing today, and answering emails, phone calls, telling them who the conservatives are on the ballot. And then we're also getting phone calls from some of the voting locations, things that people may be reporting.
Where can I vote?
Yeah. And just a few little things that are going wrong. Printers may be down, just the technological issues that we typically see every year that could possibly cause some frustration.
Nothing that's biased one side or the other. It's just stuff
happens. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Stuff happens, you know, and that's one of the things that we had been really trying to promote since early voting started on October 10th. Is our biggest thing was to have a vote plan. Make a vote plan. If you're not going to vote during early voting, we want you to vote on Election Day and have a vote plan. Because if you're on your way to work and you only have a few minutes and printers are down, what's your plan B? Do you have a second voting location to go to? So we were always, throughout the last 3 weeks, letting people know to have a vote plan. Read your sample ballot before you go. Look at it online. Know who you're voting for. Read the bonds ahead of time. There's a lot of bonds almost on every ballot, at least 3 to 5. And that takes a lot of time, you know, to read through them and know really what you're voting for, where you're possibly paying property taxes, et cetera, you know.
Well, and some of the bonds already exist. So if you choose to vote for them, your taxes don't go up because they're already there. If you voted against them, your taxes would go down.
Exactly.
So those are all things you want to know, obviously. But for candidates, we're talking about like school board and soil and water here in Sandoval County, where I am. We have something called SCAFCA, which handles the flow of water. And it's hard to know, Leticia, who to vote for. You don't know these people, you know.
It really is. And a lot of people, they want to vote party line, and I get that. But at the same time, we do have some independents on the ballot. We have libertarians on the ballot. And some of them are very conservative and right-leaning, and or not. So we've tried to make sure that we know who is on the ballot per county. We had a list on our website so that we could list the conservatives that we felt were going to be voting conservatively. If we didn't have a Republican on that ballot, people were looking to us to tell them, well, who to vote for, yeah. Who is going to be that conservative person that's going to make good decisions in their community.
Now, most folks are listening to us after the election, but you could have gone to the party website, which is newmexico.gov. It's real easy to remember. And so that's a handy service. I don't recall the party doing that before for an off-year election like this to know which were the conservative candidates.
Right. This is really the first year that we've revamped our website and really made it more of a campaign site. We do encourage people even now and going forward into 2024 to sign up for our emails so that you are getting the daily emails. What's the party doing? What's going on in your community? What's going on around the state? So a lot of the questions we would get are, what are the Republicans doing in XYZ? So now that we've been sending out emails to the Republican base and independents and some of the
whoever wants
Democrats.
To know, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Now they really see what we're doing around the state and in their community. So if you haven't signed up for our emails and you're interested, please go to our website and sign up. It's right on the front page of newmexico.gop. I think this last year that we've really been building up the website and the party, I think that every year just increases more and more. With the people that are calling to get information, some of them are telling us it's the first time that they are voting in a local election, that they didn't even know that they were, you know, that there was a local election, but they got our email and saw it because somebody told them to sign up at the last minute. So I don't know, that would kind of tell me that we're reaching more people every year as the years go on.
All right. Well, if folks have any questions for you, you're there at party headquarters and they can just call or they can email you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much.
The number to call party headquarters in Albuquerque if you have questions is 505-298-3662. And I'll give that again at the end of the program. Thank you, Leticia.
Thank you so much, Derek, for having me.
Steve, I can tell you that my voting experience was quite good. They had everything working right. I was in and out in just a few minutes. I had a sample ballot, of course, that I'd already filled out ahead of time, so I was prepared. But they did tell me here in Sandoval County that they were seeing a larger turnout than they normally do for these off-year elections.
That is true. We'll know later today as we record how the results are. But again, people are upset and they're showing it by going to the polls. One of the things I hear a lot about is that the Republican Party of New Mexico listed who the conservative constitutional candidates are in each one of the races in every county across the state. Many times in these off-year elections, people just, they're busy and they don't take the time to find out who's running. And so as folks are walking into the polling booth, they want to know who's the Republican and who's the conservative in any one of these races, and we identified them for the voters.
I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Is violent crime in New Mexico up or down? What do you think? We'll talk about that in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce.
Derek, I think in one of the more unbelievable statistics that we're seeing that the FBI, this is not the Republican Party of New Mexico, but the FBI crime data released a few weeks ago shows that violent crime in New Mexico is more than twice the nationwide rate for all 2022, and it's gotten worse in this year. This is not what New Mexicans want. They want their kids to be able to walk to school and be safe. They want to be able to drive to the grocery store and know they're not going to be mugged, that their car is not going to be stolen, that their drive-by shootings are not going to occur at their house. And so people want to know, why is it this way? And it's this way because voters continue to elect Democrats. If Republicans were in office, number one, we would hold violent criminals in jail instead of letting them loose. This governor has let loose a lot of violent criminals and they get back out on the streets knowing nothing's going to happen to them. and they commit more crimes. But the second thing I think that Republicans would do is reverse the weak bail reform laws. That's something put into place by the Democrats, and it facilitates turning loose more criminals. The third thing is that Republicans would allow police to do their jobs. Of course, we hear from many Democrats across the country and in this state talking about defunding the police. That's a kind of a battle cry for the Democrat Party nationally. And we see how it's working. Crime is just erupting across the entire nation, but especially here in New Mexico. Another thing that Republicans would be close the border. It's simple. A lot of people are coming across the border who have criminal backgrounds. They're not getting any cross checks. They're not being tracked when they come here. They're being released to go on their own across the country. And of course, if they come here with a background in crime, they're going to commit crimes here because there's less enforcement here than in Mexico. And so you have to sit here and shake your head in amazement that criminals have an easier time here than in Mexico. I think another thing that Republicans would do would be simply enforce the laws that we have on the books. People say, well, we need more laws. No, we just need to enforce what we've got. And finally, I think that Republicans would make penalties harsher for repeat offenders. Instead, criminals know that they're probably going to get out of jail, and they're maybe even never going to go to jail. So they know there's no real consequence for their actions, and it's emboldening criminals across the state, and it's making people really anxious for their future, and that's not where we need to be. Now, probably one of the most incredulous things that has occurred is that the leader of the Albuquerque Police Officers Association says that the governor's gun ban is not going to do a thing to help stop crimes, that instead of disarming law-abiding citizens, she ought to be disarming criminals and she ought to be holding them accountable. But again, that's not the Democrat way. And so if people want to change in crime, they're going to have to vote for Republicans. The thing that I find beyond belief right now is that with all of the crime surge, with all the statistics showing our own crime, the governor is reissuing her restriction on gun rights and law-abiding gun-holding citizens here in New Mexico. And it's causing a flare of opposition from across the state, from sheriffs, and this is not just Republican sheriffs, but Democrat sheriffs, from law enforcement officers across New Mexico are taking issue with her unconstitutional attacks on law-abiding citizens. Now, I want you to hear her words. In this YouTube video, you can go on to the Republican Party of New Mexico website and you can find the link to this governor's press conference. She declares, and she's doubling down here, saying that I can do all the emergency and public health orders that I want. Listen to her words.
I can do all the public health orders and all the emergency orders I want.
So I think this points out the reason that the Republican Party of New Mexico lawsuit stopped not just her action on gun, but stopping her health orders. The health orders are the tool that she says gives her the permission to violate the Constitution. We believe that there is no exception to the Constitution for governors who want to set it aside. And we're willing to take that to court and make the courts decide whether or not they're going to allow her to do these things. So again, huge actions going on right now in the entire area of crime, and so much difference between electing Republicans and Democrats that if you want the state to change, you're going to have to start electing Republicans. If you think the violation of the Constitution is the only way in which the governor is acting as a dictator, take a listen to the next thing that she's doing. She has this unelected board which issued a rule saying that New Mexico auto dealers are going to have to stop selling most gas-powered cars by 2032. Now, that's not even a decade away. And what are the people in the rural areas going to do? I think that one of my great moments of pride last week was looking at Representative Ryan Lane. He's the Republican leader in the House of Representatives, and he's calling out the governor and her unelected boards. And I think the proudest thing that I found about this entire issue is that the entire House Republican caucus is unified and opposed to the governor's position. Again, that simply tells you the deep chasm between the elected Democrats' values versus the elected Republicans' values. Republicans stand for the people. It's the people who are doing the hardest work out there trying to pay their bills that are going to be suffering the most if they actually can't buy gas vehicles in New Mexico. It's just going to price transportation out of the hands of the average worker. But especially in rural areas, they say that these electric vehicles are going to get anywhere between 250 and 500 miles. 250 miles is not going to get you from Hobbs to Albuquerque. You're going to have to stop at Klein's Corners. And if there's a line of cars there, it could take you hours longer to get to Albuquerque. And so the whole idea of the electric vehicle is one that is collapsing across the country. Car dealerships are finding that the electric vehicles are stacking up in their inventory because people don't want them. They're recognizing the flaws in them. And so this whole environmental push by the Democrat Party, all of us want a clean environment, but what they're doing is putting into place rules that are not going to drive. And that push to have everybody driving electric vehicles by 2032 is one of those. But then also, if you're watching, the offshore wind market is collapsing. Those investors who have put hundreds of millions of dollars into offshore wind are just getting up and walking away, leaving them. I was seeing one of the articles had the windmill that had caught fire and is burning. These things are not going to provide the power we need. They're unreliable. And our economy is going to take a tremendous hit. Jobs are going to be lost because states which are requiring this conversion over to the so-called clean energy are going to find a total collapse in their economy. And New Mexico is going to be one of them unless we get this governor out of office and replace her with a Republican who will fight for jobs in the state instead of this pie in the sky stuff that Michelle Lujan Grisham is pushing. And the entire progressive Democrat caucus in the state legislature, they're all pushing the same direction. So again, the misery of rural New Mexico will be unprecedented if all of these things go through.
I'm talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. The program is Inside New Mexico, and we'll be right back.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I continue my discussion with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve?
In a magnificent segment on KVIA, that's ABC 7 Extra, there in El Paso, Isabella Martinez joined Agent Del Baca. Isabella is one of the reporters, and she joined one of the agents and went for a day. And as she was there, she saw multiple attempts to stop people from crossing the border illegally. And she, along with residents, watched as apprehensions unfolded there in their neighborhood right next to a school. And then they saw Air Force and Marine Black Hawk helicopters appearing on the horizon, flying into our local neighborhoods right next to the school. Students could be seen strolling along the sidewalks, waiting for the school buses. And yet the Border Patrol is having to apprehend migrants right there among this activity. And a lot of citizens are saying, wait, this is scary. This is frightening. Thousands of migrants have crossed from Juarez into El Paso through the sewer system, that same KVIA report says. And of course, this is right next to Sunland Park on our border. And Texas reports about it, but New Mexico stations somehow don't report about it. But anyway, I would draw people to those KVIA reports to find out what's really happening at the border. You know, probably the saddest statistic of all, and you hate to even talk about statistics, you're looking at this, but they also tell us a story. But New Mexico has one of the more tragic statistics in this whole border crisis, and that is the metric relating to drug deaths due to fentanyl. New Mexico is reporting the highest death rate in the nation for the age group of 40 and below. How can you watch as your next generation, how can you watch as the fentanyl is just destroying those people in that age group. And in a further explanation of just how tragic this is all is, that New Mexico's number one cause of death in 2022 was accidental overdose. And so again, the drug crisis that's being caused by Biden's open border can only be changed by electing a Republican. Republicans know what the border means. They know the value of it. They're not wanting people to come here illegally, and Biden does want them to come here illegally. Even Democrat mayors and governors are saying enough is enough. You got to stop. Our budgets are bursting with the cost of taking care of these people coming here illegally. So it's just one more of the failed Democrat policies. And the effect of failed Democrat policies is that it leaves the whole generation without hope. Officials right now are seeing a rise in the numbers of youth seeking treatment for mental health concerns. They just are overburdened trying to sort it all out and to make sense of it. One of the things that came out of the governor's prolonged lockdowns was this mental health crisis that has now erupted across New Mexico. And so again, looking back to the way that this governor dealt with the COVID, it cost us 40% of our small businesses. Across the nation, 73% of Americans say that things are going badly in America today. That's not a positive encouragement about Democrats in office, because Joe Biden is the one who leads this country. You know, that's up 8% from just this time last year. Even in a CBS News poll, they're one of the more liberal polls, and they're finding 76%. That's 3 out of 4 people in the country are saying that the nation is headed the wrong direction. And so when people feel like we're headed the wrong direction and they've got no recourse, then they become hopeless. The mental illness does begin to overtake people. And so if we're going to change, again, it's going to take Republicans who know how to build business. We know how to secure the border. We know how to keep criminals in jail, and we know how to educate kids. This is the difference between Republicans and Democrats. So again, just so many things to talk about in today's program. One last thing. Just this week, an elderly Jewish man was assaulted and killed by pro-Palestinian protesters in Los Angeles. This is where these protests, and I think that the people who are causing the riots under the guise of BLM, I think have just changed their name, and they're doing the same destructive behaviors that BLM was doing, but now it's pro-Hamas. I think they're funded by leftists here in the country and around the world, and I think that they're stirring up hatred against the Jewish people, and now then we're seeing violence against the Jews, and that must be condemned publicly. Unfortunately, we've got members of our own congressional delegation who look like they're coming out siding with the squad. If you watch C-SPAN, you were able to see a tirade on the House floor. Even Congresswoman Tlaib was censured today on the floor of the House for her comments. But violence against Jews is up 388%. That's unthinkable here in this country. And we're seeing these demonstrations take place on college campuses and in all the states across the union. And so it must be taken seriously. People always wonder what difference the Speaker of the House makes. And one difference is that the new Speaker of the House has split Israel's aid away from Ukrainian aid and away from the aid to Hamas, and says, no, we're going to vote on the $10 billion aid for Israel. And in the most astonishing vote, I think, in recent history, all three New Mexico Democrats voted against the aid package to Israel. Representative Stansbury perhaps made the most harebrained argument. She said it didn't include the additional funds for Ukraine and Gaza and called it non-negotiable. What does she find non-negotiable about taking the funds away from the IRS in order not to drive the deficit higher? This new speaker is saying, if we're going to have funding for a program, it's got to come from somewhere else. We're not going to continue to print money. That's the value of having this new conservative speaker, Mike Johnson from Louisiana. And yet Stansbury called that a non-negotiable. I'm sorry, but you've got to live within your means, number one. If you're going to spend money in one place, you've got to take it from someplace else. We need to quit printing money. The printing of money is what's causing the inflation. But the fact that she insists on funding for Hamas either says she's pro-Hamas or she's awfully ignorant, because even the USAID, that's the United States Agency for International Development, the Office of Inspector General, said that the aid funding was at high risk for potential diversion and could fall into the hands of foreign terrorist organizations, including but not limited to Hamas. So Stansbury is sitting up there crowing that we need to send this money to Hamas, knowing full well that very high-ranking people around the world are saying that this aid doesn't go to help citizens. Where it goes is to fund more terrorists. We've already seen Joe Biden fund the terrorists through his giveaways to Iran. And so now then those giveaway programs are going to go directly to the terrorists if Stansbury and the Democrats in Congress have anything to do with it. The aid package that Speaker Johnson is passing for Israel, even the Jewish leader of the Senate amazingly says that he's not going to even take the bill up to fund Israel's aid. What that tells you, that the progressive grip on the Democrat Party is that when a Jewish leader of the Senate says he will not consider aid funding for Israel unless the funding for Hamas and Ukraine are added into it. So again, folks, this program today talks in tremendous depth about the differences between Democrats and Republicans. Come out and join the Republican Party. Be a part of us. If there's a hope for the country, it's through Republicans. If there's a hope for New Mexico, it's by electing Republicans and kicking the Democrats out of office. So join with us. Again, fascinating program today. A lot going on. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, Steve. If you've been listening to our program today and would like to find out more information about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that by going to their website at newmexico.gop. The party does have a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. And we do appreciate your local radio station bringing you this program each week. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.